Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 28, verses 20 to 22. Proverbs chapter 28, verses 20 to 22. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20, "A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him." Now, this is a very sobering set of verses here, particularly verse 20 and 22. Because what we want to talk with you about today is this one simple phrase: get rich quick. Get rich quick. You have to understand something from this proverb. The trouble with get rich quick schemes is that they appeal to a flaw in your nature. And that flaw in your nature is found in verse 22. The Bible says, "He that hasteth to be rich," watch it, "hath an evil eye." That's the trouble. In verse 20, he said, if you want to haste to be rich, you're not going to be innocent. You will cut a corner. You will do something wrong. You will cheat. You will lie. You will steal. You will fudge. You won't report something in order to make some money. And that's in your nature. That's in my nature. It came from Adam. And when you fall for a get-rich-quick scheme, it's because there is that flaw in you that says, I believe that I can do this and get away with it. I believe I can do this and win. And the evilness of your eye, and believe me, the person that's talking to you about whatever get-rich-quick scheme is being presented to you knows this, and he's appealing to it. That evil eye will cause you to see the money and the profit and everything you can do with the money and the profit, but it will not allow you, or it will blind you to see, will not allow you to see, or it will blind you from seeing the shortcomings, the problems, the losses, the risks. See, that's what the problem with the evil eye is. It sees the money, it sees the profit. It is covetous toward the possessions, but it's blind to the shortcomings. It's blind to the problems. It's blind to the losses. It's blind to the risks, and refuses to let you see what you're going to see when you look back with 20/20 vision later. And then you'll see it, and you'll say, how did I miss that? Well, you missed it because the eye is evil, because you're not innocent. You see, the motive is you want to hurry up and get rich, and your evil eye shows you a way that you can do it. And you think, well, I can't be innocent and do this, but then I don't really care because what? The end justifies the means. And certainly other people are doing this. Others must be doing this. So it's got to be okay. And it's not okay. In the end, you lose. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:20, shall not be innocent. It says in 22, considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. In the end, you lose. You can't see the poverty. But the poverty comes upon you as you realize, suddenly, I've been had. Now, here are some things. This is going to be a very practical lesson today. I know we give you lots of doctrine, lots of theology, lots of cross-referencing. Really want to teach you the Bible. We're going to teach you something very practical here today. There are things you need to avoid as a Christian They're biblical. You need to follow these, and they will help you if you will listen. Number one, avoid frivolous lawsuits. Many a Christian has gotten involved in a lawsuit who, when after the thing was done, regretted ever getting involved in it in the first place because there wasn't really enough merit to the lawsuit. Now, as it concerns brother to brother, Christian to Christian, we have no business going to court according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You are better off to be defrauded than you are to take a brother to court, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, we understand that there are times when there has been something that has gone wrong, and court is the only remedy, in which case it's not a frivolous lawsuit, but a necessary outcome of a broken contractual relationship that was left with no other means of settling the problem. And if that thing is proper and it's legal and it's done right, there will be a just settlement as a result of the action. But I'll tell you what, many more times than not, not just more times than not, but many more times than not, the lawsuit was without merit. The lawsuit was frivolous. It was emotionally driven. You were upset. Let me tell you something. You better think long and hard before you decide that you're going to go into something like this. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers? Now therefore there is an utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. You see that? Paul is very stern there that we have no business as Christians suing other Christians. Now, what happens in a frivolous lawsuit is a lawyer promises you big bucks. He claims that there's been some sort of a medical malpractice here. For instance, in the birth of a child, many times there are natural problems that result that are not the problem of the doctor. But you're emotional. And I'm telling you, I understand that there are times when the guy is wrong. I understand that. But many more times than not, you're promised the big bucks by the lawyer. You are emotionally distressed. You are convinced that there must have been something that went wrong by the hospital or by the doctor. And so you decide that it's your duty to go get the money. And you've got to be very, very careful here. Let me tell you why. Because in that kind of a lawsuit, you don't even know the kind of mental and emotional stress you are getting ready to go through. Because you're going to live with this thing for years as it goes through the court system. And it is going to take an unimaginable toll on your health and on your mental state and on your emotional state and on your spiritual state. It will. I can just think about one particular case that just bops right into the front of my head here. It was a business frivolous lawsuit. And the man was convinced, because he had somebody that would front the money to the lawyer, that he could win millions of dollars in a business lawsuit. So he went for it. All right. By the time the thing was finished, he lost in the lower court, but through the appeal system, he was able to get the thing overturned and came back through to a settlement. Okay, this thing went on for years, probably for 3 years. Maybe it'd be longer than that. Went on longer than that. Went on for about 4 years. By the time it was all said and done, it cost him his marriage, and by the time he did receive some money, it wasn't millions. It was much, much less than that, but so much had been spent by the attorneys, and so many taxes had not been paid to the government on the hope that big money would come forth from this thing, that the IRS and the attorney got all the money, and he got none. I had a friend of mine, and he fell on a job, and he was injured. He broke his back. It nearly killed him. Now, he survived it. And he was already nearly 70 years old, lived about 10 more years, and he lived in relatively good health, except that his legs wouldn't work anymore. I mean, when I say relatively good health, everything that worked well, but he was paralyzed. And it was a very sad thing. Well, while he was in the hospital, recovering, having just gone to death's door, but he didn't pass through. Two attorneys came to see him, and my friend was very suspicious. And so they began to tell him that he could sue and get a lot of money. And he asked them how much they were going to take, and they said half. And he said, "You mean I'm the one that has to live with this injury for the rest of my life, and I'm the one that just about died, and you're going to take half of the money of the settlement that should come to me?" He said, "Let me tell you something. You don't realize that right now, even though I'm in this particular situation that I'm in, I have a very loving wife and I have friends that are very close to me. If I win the kind of money you're talking about, suddenly I'm going to have all kinds of relatives and all kinds of friends come to see me that didn't ever see me before, and they're going to be begging me for money. And they're going to make my life miserable as I have to tell them one and again I don't want to give them the money, or I'm going to give them the money because they're going to pressure me into it, and the last whatever years I have left on this earth are going to be miserable as a result of what you're doing to me. I will not go to court on this deal and seek money in the place where I fell. Now get out of here." And he ran him out of his room. And I'm going to tell you something. I went to visit that guy regularly through the last 10 years of his life. He and I were friends. And you know something? He was always happy and he was always in good spirits. And I know, and he was taken care of. I mean, all the things he needed, he had. And I know that that man lived in accordance with what he said to those attorneys. He lived happily. You know, a lot of times you've got to twist the truth in court to get the money. You cannot be innocent and tell it exactly the way it happened. You have to build your case, and your attorney has to help you build your case in order to win. And many times, it's not based on all of the facts. It's based on the characterization of the facts, which sometimes means that they're going to be embellished or withheld or twisted to win your case. And you know what the Bible says? You haste to be rich that way, you will not be innocent. So I tell you from the bottom of my heart, as a Christian to a Christian, if you're saved, avoid frivolous lawsuits at all costs. Do not go there. Do not go there. It is not worth it. The losses that you will sustain, whether you get the money or not, will be far worse than the gains you get financially. I promise you. Don't go there. All right, here's the next thing. Christian, to avoid, don't gamble. Now, I don't know personally, many Christians that gamble. I think I know a few. But that's because I don't really get involved in your personal lives. I'm not there with you to hold your hand to see how you do what you do before God Almighty. God's there. And God and you are the ones that have to deal with all that stuff that you do in private. But let me just tell you something. The lottery, that is a man that is hasting to be rich, that is motivated by an evil eye, and you will not be innocent. Going to Las Vegas, you may consider the entertainment fun, but I'm going to tell you something. If you play while you're there, you're foolish. I had a great uncle, and in his younger age, he was a real rounder, okay? And he would take clients out to Las Vegas, and it was well known out there. But, you know, I talked to a friend of his that he had known for years and years and years, helped set up out there in Las Vegas. I talked to his friend one time and I asked him, I said, "Well, when my uncle came out here, did he ever play?" He said he never gambled, never, because he knew the odds were stacked in favor of the house and he wouldn't do it. He was a gambler when it was just, you know, men that he knew playing poker or whatever else they did. He wouldn't go out there and gamble. Why? He knew that the odds were stacked against him. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in all labor there is profit. But in gambling, there's not labor. It's gaming. It's chance. And someone else has to lose in order for you to win. And the losers far outnumber the winners. You take the lottery, for instance. The proceeds of the lottery are designed to pay for what? School? Isn't that amazing? Our public school system is partially supported by money that is made from gambling. Now, what does that tell you about corruption in the way the government handles the schools? It's insane. All right. In order for the government to be able to peel a bunch of money out of the pot, everybody else that puts in their dollar or $2 or $5 has to lose, but the one or two winners that share the pot and the government that takes a bunch to pay for the government schools, if that's what they do with the money. And the deal is, in order for that to happen, millions of people have to lose for one guy or two guys to win. And you're going to be the loser. And you're going to be the loser even if you win a little bit here and there. Because it may pay you a $2 winnings on a dollar bet or $5 winnings on a $2 bet now and again. But in the long haul, over the time, you don't have a clue how much you have lost in just 2 years at $5 and $10 here and there. You have no idea. You lose track of the number of times you go into the convenience store to buy those tickets. You don't have a clue. You don't know where you are financially in that deal. But I'll tell you what, you're upside down. And let me say this to you. If you're the big winner and you strike it rich and you get the $8 million or $10 million or $50 million or whatever it is, you are the big loser. Because the Bible says, considereth not. He that hasteth to be rich and hath an evil eye and considereth not, you're not thinking, that poverty shall come upon him. And it will. I can think of one person that I know that won the lottery that actually invested it wisely. But you're the big loser. Whether you win or you lose, poverty shall come upon him. So don't go there. Why even bother? If there's profit in all, if in all labor there is profit, then why would you choose to gamble in order to get more profit, where there's no labor involved in the gambling at all? I ought to tell you something else you need to avoid as a Christian. You need to avoid too good to be true investment opportunities. Really, you need to avoid investment opportunities that sound too good to be true. They are. Any kind of investment opportunity where you put a little bit down and you're guaranteed huge returns, they're going to keep your money. I remember years ago, a friend of mine was approached by a guy that had a quick scheme, you know. Put $10,000 down, buy this piece of real estate with a bunch of other people. We know the market. We know the place. Here's the things. They're all moving this direction. You can turn it around in 2 years, and you'll make $50,000. These guys did on this prior investment right before you started. All right? Think about it. The fella went to all this work to travel a great way to tell you about this great investment. If it could make that type of return, why not get two or three fellas, borrow some money, buy the investment and turn it in 2 years, and they keep the five times return on the investment. You know why they don't do it? Because that investment's not going to pay like that. They show you that huge return in order to get that evil eye to start looking at the profits and at the money and at the covetousness of the possessions that you can own as a result of the wisdom of your investment. But you're blind to the shortcomings. The shortcoming is, once that guy gets your $10,000 and walks out the door, he has already made his return. The investment does not have to work out. He's got his money. He can leave. And that's exactly what happened. The trick for the guy selling you is to get your money. And that's all he has to do. Once he gets your money, he goes to the next guy to get his money. He doesn't care whether that thing is real or not, or whether it pays out or not. It doesn't make any difference. He's not planning on coming back to you to get more money. He's not building a relationship. And 20/20 hindsight, 2 years later, the guy that makes the investment looks back and goes, I have been had. And he ends up losing all of his money. Watch out for work-at-home schemes that promise you very little work in your pajamas for little skill. You'll work. And you might be in your pajamas, but you are going to work a lot if it's something like stuffing envelopes, for instance, or sending out medical bills, because you're going to have to do a tremendous volume of those where they're being paid just a small fraction for each item that you handle. You're going to have to do a tremendous volume of those. You're going to have to work in your pajamas because you won't have time to shower and you won't have time to dress to do all the work that's necessary in order to make that kind of money with no skill. I mean, think about it. And if you're not in a position to be able to do that kind of labor in that kind of a scheme, then you have no business answering that call. I mean, you know how they're sold. They promise you $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000 a month. And, oh, man, you don't even have to have an education. It's so little work. Just, you know, and you don't even have to leave the house. I mean, it sounds great, doesn't it? Hey, it doesn't come free. It just doesn't come free. All right? Watch out for schemes that involve selling miracle products. I can remember not too awful long ago, our son was kind of baited into one of those things. And you know what? It's a lot more difficult than it seems. You got to work hard to get the contacts. You pay money to buy the list of names to contact. It isn't a list of names that has been called through. The people you're calling don't want to hear from you. If you pay the money that's necessary to get the called list, well, you can be sure somebody else that's been in it longer than you have gets first choice. You know that. You buy this stuff. You buy the products. You end up with products you don't use. You end up with people that don't want to buy what you've gotten into. Their incentive is not what your incentive is. Your incentive was to make a lot of money. Their incentive is to get something that works. And they don't know to trust you. They don't want to get involved in that. And by the time you're out the money on your fees that you have to pay to get the list, to get the products, and all that other stuff, and you haven't sold enough to warrant it, you're worn out. And you know what? If you look up the line in the products, you'll find people's lives that are distressed now. They're hooked into this deal. They're working more hours than they would. The money they're making is buying them great luxurious items, and the marriages are falling flat to pieces. I know that's not the case every time, but that's the case a lot of times. And those are the things you don't see. And you don't see the poverty that comes. And you don't see the lack of innocence that's necessary to make the sale. Watch out for training courses on how to buy things cheap and sell them high, like real estate or foreclosures. Listen, the man has made his money when he sells you the list, when he sells you the training material. And then you go out there and start looking for the deals, and the deals aren't there. Or if they are there, you'd have to be able to travel to the cities and go through the courthouse records yourself and visit the properties, and you don't have the time and you don't have the money to make that type of expense. But the guy that sold you the training material doesn't care. He makes his money on selling you the training material when all you can see with your evil eye is how rich you're going to be 2 years from now. Watch out for pyramid schemes. They are illegal in most places. Let me tell you, they even have schemes for people in the ministry. Because we have this radio broadcast and because we have a website where people can email us with questions about the Bible and prayer requests and things like that, we get these random letters that come from the coast, from the Ivory Coast and from Dubai and places like that. And they say things like this: "Hi, I am the attorney for Mrs. So-and-so. Her husband died, left her an estate with $8 million, and she wants to invest in your Christian ministry. And we need a place to house this money safely. We will gladly send you the $8 million. Please respond to this email." Well, I'm telling you what, there were a lot of guys in the ministry that started responding to those emails. And what they involve is you giving out financial information like your bank account and other contact information, routing numbers and so forth, so that they can wire you the money, right? Well, what they do is they have access to your account. They take an upfront fee, and you never hear from them again. And they get to you for $10,000. I smelled that rat right away when I saw the first one and went to a list, found something that was either compiled by the CIA or the FBI or something. And there are multitudes of these things that were going around. They were all scams. You could see it right from the beginning. Nobody's going to send $8 million into this ministry from some place like the Ivory Coast that doesn't know a thing about what we're doing here. That's insane. But people fall for it. There were make money fast emails that were going around. Things like, you send a dollar to each of the names that are on the 10 names on this email, put your name at the bottom of the list, send it out to all your friends, and you'll make bundles of money. That's illegal. That's illegal. And people don't think through that. They think, hey, this is going to work. That was one of the most notorious scams that hit the email, and one of the most notorious spams that hit the emails back in the 90s. Trading scams, where traders get involved in various kinds of currency exchanges and things like that, gold-type exchanges, and say, buy into this thing, and you're going to make all kinds of money. The great returns are available in this particular thing, because as currencies here go down, currencies over there go up, and you'll never lose, and you're going to make a lot of money, and 90%, we outperform 90% of the investors that invest today, all that stuff. I'm telling you what, you are staring at losing a tremendous amount of money. I have a friend of mine that got involved with a trader that knew the net worth of my friend and got him to start investing in, and all of a sudden the guy was investing on margins, and then the margin calls came. And by the time all the dust settled and everything, that guy had lost over $1 million. Never saw it coming. Could not see it coming. But you be sure that the trading man that was getting him involved in those things made his money every time there was an exchange. Listen, you have to remember this proverb. Every time you get ready to do something that you think is going to make you money, you have to remember this proverb. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. Remember that. You'll be involved in something that's not innocent. You'll be involved in something that involves an evil eye. You'll be involved in something that will give you poverty in the end. You got it? So just stay away from it and protect yourself. I'll say this. Do you really want to be rich quick? I mean, that's what we call this lesson, get rich quick. You really want to be rich quick? I'll tell you how to be rich quick. I know one way that'll work, and it won't cost you a dime. You say it's too good to be true. Sounds like it, but it's true. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you will have the wealth of heaven. How about that? Jesus Christ already paid the price for that by dying for your sins on Calvary. And if you'll trust him as your Savior, he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And you'll have a mansion in heaven. Eternal life now, and you'll escape hell hereafter. Now that does sound like a deal that's too good to be true, but we have it all in writing. And there's nothing here involving an evil eye or a man being impoverished for accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior. Stay away from the scams. Stick with the truth. It'll do you well every time.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.